you know, we got off to a little bit of a slow start there, in particular with the long run that we allowed to Derrick Henry. And then, you know, that environment ratcheted up even more than it was already. And again, if you can get off to a good start early in the game and quiet the crowd a little bit and get into a rhythm, that certainly helps. And we've been able to do that at points, I think, most of the time this season, in fact, but yesterday, not so much.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, one way they could have maybe done that, you know, people don't think it changes the outcome of the game, but one way you could have done that is maybe go for a 4th-and-2 at the 50-yard line neighborhood instead of punting it away to Derrick Henry so he could run at 87 yards. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joins us for our weekly chat to, you know, look back a little bit, look forward to Houston. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
When you look back at the Baltimore game, you know, whether it's the Devontae Adams trade conversation or whatever, I think a lot of Bills fans say, why is everyone freaking out? I don't know if it's really freaking out so much as just reacting to a team they think is pretty good. You know, you go 3-0, all of a sudden the expectations kind of went again from transition year to, hey, we're back. And I think Bills fans might want to stay there, you know, being back. It's a compliment to get this kind of scrutiny, I think. So when you look at what happened in that game, we asked this question yesterday. What's real and what's no big deal? What did you come away with from that game? What was real and what's no big deal?
Well, I think the real would be the assignment of Baltimore as a contending team on the road in a short week with a team that I think is really engineered with their offense to expose some of your issues on defense. I think that was the reality of what the concern was. And I thought the Bills had a very poor defensive game plan in terms of presenting light boxes and neutral boxes to heavy personnel rushing offense that includes unicorns and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and Patrick Ricard as a fullback. And I don't think that they were ready to be able to defend that in an intelligent way. And I thought that put a lot of stress on their offense, and I was concerned about how the Bills would match up with the Ravens, but I thought the offense would be better. I thought they would score some points and kind of take away from what Baltimore could expose with their offense against the Bills' defense, but the game script completely got away from the Bills. And just like we enjoyed watching the Bills' defense tee off against the Jaguars and Dolphins as that game got out of hand, that's what the Ravens were able to do to the Bills. And so I think the reality is game scripts matter. Matchups matter, game plans matter, and I think the Ravens are the team that got the better of the Bills that night. And I think the Ravens are uniquely built. They're one of one in how they can stress the Bills with their decisions on how they're going to play defense, and they'll have to have a better strategy moving forward. But I think you look at it for what it is within the context of that game and realize that the Bills are on pace for 12 wins, and they looked really good for 3 games and had a stinker in one of them.
So if the Ravens are uniquely built to challenge the Bills defensively and they have come with a better game plan, how about what the Ravens did defensively? Did the Bills run into a problem you think you might see again? That's not exactly a unicorn kind of game plan against the Bills. And what can they do to beat something like that outside of, you know, game script being a big part of it potentially?
Yeah, that matters a lot for how Baltimore was able to play very aggressive with how they loaded their fronts, how they threatened pressure and allowed them to play very free with a lead on defense. I mean, they led by 2 scores for 75% of the game. They led for everything after the Bills' first drive. I mean, that's a great position to play defense from. So I think that matters a ton. But the Bills were just in a lot of conflict, I think, offensively. They couldn't seize momentum. Of course, they had 2 big drops, terrible trick play call. I think fair to call out some cowardly punts. I think it was more that than it was anything the Bills were not capable of doing offensively. And I think probably my biggest frustration was just how they couldn't figure out protection. And they've kind of lived in this world the first 3 weeks of the year where they were fine with free runners. Josh Allen's been pressured a lot this year, but it didn't really matter because Josh Allen was able to negotiate those free runners, and it just didn't matter. In this game, the Ravens were able to get complimentary pressure off the edge and up the middle, and Josh Allen just didn't have a lot of room to operate and make people miss in the pocket, and it cost them. And, you know, I thought you saw a lot of issues with communication up front where even though the Ravens didn't blitz that much, a pretty normal blitz rate in the low 20s, the threat of pressure just put the Bills' offensive line in a bind. And I think you look specifically at Osiris Torrence as a guy that has habitually been twisted up in pass pro this year with handling stunts and pressure looks and where to pass off and where to step, and he's been kind of an issue. And then I think you saw you know, for the first time this year, Spencer Brown had some issues against Kyle Van Noy. I mean, really kind of ate his lunch on a couple of reps that wind up really being costly for the Bills. And so that forces Joe Brady to keep in more eligibles. They're doing seven-man protections. Well, if you have a seven-man protection, that means that you only got three out in routes. And if they're not blitzing, you know, they've got seven over three. I mean, you're going to be able to cover that. I don't care if you have the three greatest receivers in the NFL. You're not going to cover against seven when you have three-man routes and you're keeping in all these players to block and they're not getting it done. So, yeah, they had some issues, but I think it's that stuff as opposed to anything the Bills are lacking that's going to be an issue moving forward.
Have you thought about, Joe, the trick play and in the context of, like, what it was trying to do? Like, do you have a sense of what, if it had gone well, was Allen supposed to be, like, around the edge? Was he supposed to be throwing the ball from, like, where he did on the left? Like, have you thought about, like, what they were trying to accomplish by that exact play design?
If I can go Sean McDermott here for you, that's probably a better question for Joe Brady.
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a deplorable play call. And it's not even that it's a result. Like, you don't look at the result and say, well, it was bad because of the fact that Josh Allen got clocked and there was a strip sack and all that. Like, that's not the problem. It was just a very bad decision. You finally had some momentum. Like, you were moving the ball. And you came out of the second half. You got back-to-back three and outs. You scored a touchdown. Like, you had some good things going. Like, it felt like the momentum was coming. And, boy, you stripped it right away. And you know, people talk a lot about trick plays, and I am just not a fan. Not with Josh Allen. And I've said this on my podcast. Like, Josh Allen running regular plays is the trick play. You don't have to do goofy stuff to try to get offense. Josh Allen can do that for you. Just do regular stuff. And I think the intent, they hand it off to what Samuel gives it to Josh Allen. And I think through that action, they wanted the Ravens to not be mindful of Keon Coleman and Mac Hollins running down the field. And nobody was fooled, man. Those guys stayed leveraged over top. Nobody was open. They had pretty much a wall of coverage, you know, capped over top of those two receivers. If Josh Allen uncorks that ball, I'm not really sure what happens. I think it's probably an interception and you have better field position on the turnover regardless. So it was terrible design, terrible intent. The Ravens weren't fooled. And just a very silly, silly moment.
We saw a couple nice catches from Coleman, a couple more flash plays from him. Yeah. A lot of conversation, though, Joe, right now about Curtis Samuel and his role in the offense. So as we move forward, you know, they're going to continue to talk about everybody eats. But in a game like that, who is it, or maybe even not like that, whatever, just moving forward, are you looking for more attention for one guy, whether that's Coleman or Kincaid or Curtis Samuel, because they brought him in and he's on the team for a couple of years here. Okay. And the idea was he can do a lot of things. And right now he's like the gadget guy. So if it's Samuel or if it's one of the others, who are you looking for more from?
I think the answer is yes, Jeremy. I think the more that those things come together, the more better this offense is going to be. And right now, Dalton Kincaid, there's a lot of gravity on him. I know we talked about it a lot coming out of Arizona, but hasn't really changed. Like, teams know how talented Kincaid is. I think they know that the Bills want to get him the ball, and there's just a lot of gravity. He runs routes, and there's high lows on him, and zones are rolled to him. It's definitely a thing. And I think the more other things, the more ancillary parts of this offense and this passing game can come together, the more helpful it's going to be in softening up those looks for Kincaid for him to really take over. And I do think the connection that Josh showed with Keon Coleman on those two back shoulder throws, that's a big deal. As that continues to happen and defenses respect that more, that has more attention, that's going to help Kincaid. As they get things going with Curtis Samuel, you know, that's going to be really helpful as well, really unique player. And I think, you know, that time he missed at the end of camp with the turf toe combined with all the new, right? I mean, so much new on this offense really kind of made it difficult for that to take off the way you wanted it to. And you know, I think it's fair to look at everything and say it probably was unreasonable to think that everything would be the full version of itself in the first 4 weeks of the season. So I think that stuff has to evolve. And as it does, it's going to make the overall operation even better and certainly allow the Bills to get Kincaid going in the ways that they want to.
And maybe Shakir for this as well. Last one, Joe, before we let you go. Like, the outside, the boundary receivers has always been a bit of a, you know, are they good enough there? Can they make it work? But they kind of have to, because that's the way that you'll get Kincaid and Shakir the room they need to operate.
Yeah, if you can win those perimeter battles, right, that's going to soften up the middle of the field. There's no question, right? You got to find ways to get defenses in some different looks that are going to draw coverage and open up your spacing, and it all goes hand in hand. And I think, you know, there's been really a lot of really good through three games. It certainly this one against Baltimore takes away from what feels like a really good start. But yes, as those perimeter battles become more wins for the Bills, softens up the middle of the field.
How about the Houston matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly don't want to lose two in a row and have tiebreakers, playoff seedings, when you think about Houston and Baltimore, teams that you expect to kind of be in the mix. I think Houston's, they're 3-1. I think they've been a little vulnerable. I think their passing offense is extremely potent. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball like Baltimore did, and I think they have some issues with their offensive line. I think their run defense has been pretty poor. I don't think their pass defense has been particularly strong either. They've given up quite a bit, actually the fourth most passing touchdowns against them this year. So I think the Bills are going to have some opportunities. I think the game script will be a lot more even, and obviously everyone's ready for the big return of Tim Settle against the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll definitely have a lot to pay attention to.
Tim Settle. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We chat every Wednesday. Make sure you're listening to Joe every day. He does a great job, and love having him on. Love chatting. Coming up at 8, Lindy Ruff, first ever guest from Prague. Possible. Meanwhile, Joe had the big news. Alesh Kotalik and Jaro Spacek will be attending the game.
Yes.
Let's go.
Not like I broke it, like texting Alesh Kotalik or anything. I just saw it on Twitter, but yes.
The Sabres tweeted that
Kotalik
out,
Kotalik and Spacek.
The Spacho Man. He'll be there. That's perfect for the vibes.
That's the one you're more excited about?
Spacho Man? Come on.
Kotalik. Everyone loves Kotalik.
There's only one
the
Spacho Man.
King.
803-0550. More your calls. A little Sabres chatter with the Sabres head coach coming up as well here on WGR.